Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning podcast focusing on film and television. Another year has passed, and that means it's time for our 2019 Ho Awards, our favorites in both movies and television. And this year, the winners were decided by you, the listeners. Let's kick off the show. Aaron Peterson, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host, John Davenport.
Hey, Aaron. I don't know how this stuff works anymore.
It's been a while. Amanda Sink.
Hey-yo.
Is that
I'm just trying it out. I feel like hello is probably better. Let's just stick with that. Okay. New year, new me. I don't know.
We are back.
My grandma to your grandma.
What about my grandma?
What? This is the saddest song ever. My grandma's dead. Oh. Both of them. Thanks, John.
You don't know that song, the Aiko Aiko IA song?
I don't think we have a license for it, so no.
All right.
I don't. Until we have a license, I don't think we can use it. It is a new year. We've got a new-ish team and our new theme. How many people do you guys think are emailing? Do you like the new theme, the new Ho theme?
I do.
I dig it.
Well, that was very deep. He like went into his core to say that.
And it took him a second. He's like... Let me bring it from inside.
I had to go deep. I had to get my inner Momoa out.
Ooh.
He's going to be the thing for 2019, right? Like, everybody's going to be talking about Momoa, and I can't even say his name quick.
Momoa.
Yeah, I can't Momoa, do that. Momoa. You can, because you're a woman.
Mama say, Mama so. Yeah. Makusa.
All right, well, if you're new to The Ho, which is short for Hollywood Outsider, obviously, typically our episodes drop on Wednesday. This one might arrive a day or two early because we've been gone for a while. So,
and we think you guys miss us.
I definitely think that's probably not the case. They're probably just flipping through podcasts and like, wait, this one's on there. We'll check this out.
Yeah, everybody else is taking a break. We're just dropping a little bit early and they're missing a podcast to listen to.
We're the pity podcast.
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to our Ho Awards before, we do ours a bit different. Male and female, we don't do that for actor. We just do best actor. If you want to follow along, most of the categories are in the show notes or the website post at thehollywoodoutsider.com. So just bring it up or hop in the Facebook group. You can post your picks on the post, either on the website or in the Facebook group, either one. We came together to determine our three finalists in each category, but there's some craziness you'll hear in some of these categories. But we do mean them, like each and every pick, right? I mean, we came together, we came up with three finalists, but we believe in each selection. Yes? That's a question, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Didn't we pick that? Isn't that the idea, the concept?
You know, well, some people saw the categories and they saw some selections and they asked, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, we're all serious. They're all 100% what we believe should be the three finalists.
Well, Sorry. That's awkward.
With that, let's move on to the awards. For each category, I will tell you the three finalists. Then we'll each give our own picks before we announce the actual winner from our Ho online poll. This is the first year listeners have determined the winners. None of us know who they are until right this very second. Until we announce it, we don't know who won, right? That's a question again.
Right.
You keep asking us questions and stressing me out.
I haven't looked at the results is what I'm saying. I don't know.
So you're just going to pull them up in the middle of talking?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Like
and then
it.
At the very end, we'll tell you what is the Ho movie of the year and the Ho TV show of the year. That's a culmination of both our picks and the listener picks.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a whole new Aaron this year. He's like asking us our opinion. Usually he just gives them to us.
Yeah.
It's going to stop.
This is weird.
Soon.
This is why I feel uncomfortable.
We got a new theme. It got me jazzed up. I was like, oh. There's no dubstep, but for whatever reason, I wanted to incorporate it somewhere
that
in the show.
That wasn't dubstep.
What was it?
Not good.
That was
techno.
I don't know what it was. Definitely not dubstep. Maybe not techno. Kind of like a mouth accident.
Mouth accident. All right.
Let's move to TV before we do our categories, which we are going to get through fairly quickly. TV has been explosive over the past couple of years, and many big name actors are now switching to the small screen. We've got actors, even Meryl Streep is doing TV now. She's going to do Big Little Lies. But is the content still going strong?
I think it's definitely something that can still be tapped. There's still possibilities, and we got a lot of room to grow as far as TV goes. We, like this, if this last year did proved anything with Sharp Objects and then a couple other things that I can't think of at the moment, there's a lot of room to work with still, and I'm excited to see what they do.
There's a lot of potential still to grow, but television is already taking over in regards to, in comparison to movies, because we're getting...
Really? You still believe that? You think TV is just knocked the movies to the curb?
Not to the curb, but we're finding...
Because that's going to kill at least half of our podcast.
Yeah. I'm not saying that there's not good movies that are happening, but we're finding more unique and clever ideas through television than we are with movies anymore. A lot of the movies that we're seeing are just remakes or sequels or something to that effect, whereas with television, we're at least getting something that's original, and it's something that we haven't seen before, or it's some different take on something that we've seen before. So with television, I feel like we're getting better content in a lot of ways than we often are with movies.
I mean, I really do agree. I find more potential in television now, and deeper storytelling, because you have a more elongated format, so you have that. Consistently, it feels like there's a lot of money in TV. I don't know where they're getting all the money. I still don't know where the money comes from, but there's a lot of money in TV. A lot of great television keeps piling up, and shows that I think aren't going to work great. I was talking to John. I just caught up on a show called Happy, which shouldn't work in any way, shape, or form, and somehow does. I mean, there's just like every crazy idea you can think of seems to happen, but it happens more on TV because moviegoers, like you said, they want to go to sequels. They want to go to tried and true formats. That's the problem.
Well,
right now.
And I feel that's all we're getting. It's not like we're getting something different in movies often.
I don't agree with that.
The mainstream movies? There's plenty of indie movies that are giving original content.
They're not getting mainstream because people aren't paying for them. People aren't going to pay for them, why would they're not going to be mainstream movies?
But see, a lot of it is the production, the big movies, studios and film companies, they're taking what is making dollars, but what they're putting out there is only stuff that's non-original. It's sequels and remakes because they know they're going to profit off of
it. Brands.
So, of course, when people only have those options, they're going to pay for it because they already have that brand, like you said, recognition. And so they're paying for it, but they're not really giving opportunity to the new stuff to really get to the front lines. Because
I'm saying, but people aren't paying for the stuff.
But
that
they're not getting an option.
They are. Go look at theaters. There are a lot of movies that Vice is not a big hit. And that went out. Critics rave about it and everything else, but nobody went and saw it. Then you have movies like The Favorite. People love it for Oscars. It's gotten a wide release. It's still not making a lot of money. Green Book. Great movie. Nobody went and saw it. So there are those opportunities, just people aren't going to pay for them. They don't pay for them. They stay home. I mean, I see what you're saying, but if you go look at what's actually delivered to the theaters, those movies that are less bombastic and less branded don't tend to do very well.
But they don't have the same marketing budget. When you have movies where every time you're on Facebook, you see Mary Poppins.
They're not on a McDonald's box, maybe, but they're out there. I mean, I saw tons of commercials, and I don't even watch commercials for Green Book, and nobody went and saw it. And that's legitimately a great movie.
I didn't even see one for The Favorite. I've seen that it's in the theater, but I haven't even seen
I
one.
I haven't seen one for The Favorite.
Like those types of movies that are a little bit smaller and have some sort of unique and clever idea, even Vice. I don't think I've seen more than... I don't think I've actually seen a trailer. I've only seen the conversation piece about Christian Bale.
Oh, that one I've seen everywhere. Like everywhere.
Yeah, that one's...
Except Fox News.
But I wonder if it's just the political controversy.
I'm kidding. I don't watch
it.
Fox News. I don't know what's out there.
You know, the other side of this conversation is that a lot of these smaller things that you're talking about, these less marketable or less branded things that you're talking about in the theater, it's possible they may even work better as TV shows than they did as movies. I can totally see a TV show like for Vice or a TV show for The Green Book. Like, you'd have a better chance to get a much deeper relationship with those characters. And it seems like a lot of people are interested in having those kinds of relationships with the characters they're watching as something deeper. That's why TV is growing the way it is. The other thing is that you no longer have something like advertisers aren't paying for, or aren't the only one directly paying for a lot of the content on TV. With streaming services the way we're working now, you got a pool of people giving you $10 a month or whatever. HBO gets that with HBO Now, or even the subscriptions. Netflix gets that. So you've got a pool of people who are tried and true diehard fans of whatever you put out, giving you money directly now, as opposed to hoping and praying for advertisers and other things to help push that. So the pool of money is there. It's a lot more. And that's probably what's working for them.
That makes sense. I mean, there's a lot more money. And that money can pay for higher tiered talent. It can pay for better screenwriters. A lot of people that can't find work in Hollywood because they're not behind comic book movies and bombastic movies and whatever Tom Cruise is doing this week, they can go to TV, get paid a little bit more reasonably, and do something that's drawn out. And I agree, John. I think a movie like Vice would be great on TV, where actually – different filmmakers, because, I mean, I don't like a one-sided story, which that movie totally is. So maybe you could stretch it out and actually tell both sides of the story, as opposed to just the side you're on.
Right.
Well, and speaking to your point, Aaron, you mentioned the people.
Oh, okay, Amanda. We're going to throw names around.
Well, do you want me to just call you Guy?
Yeah, dude.
Hey, Guy. Hey, dude.
Yo.
Yo, back to your point, dude.
My you man. Mentioned what?
Yeah, let's do some Momoa impressions. You had mentioned that there's...
I'm flexing. Does that count?
Right, no, now? It's there's no comparison. Momoa's got like 180 times.
I mean, I've got like a pop gun. And he's got real guns.
But people might not be paying for the lesser movies. They're already paying for the streaming services, and they know that they're going to get something good at home. Whatever they do, they're spending $10, $15 a month, and they're guaranteed to at least get one or two movies, TV shows that they're going to enjoy. When they go to the movie theater, the only ones that they can really count on not wasting their money for are movies that they have the brand recognition for. When it comes to those lesser movies, there are some that are really great and there are some that are not good at all. And in that respect, I'm looking at like Holmes and Watson, or I'm looking at like, even though that has the backing of Will Ferrell, there's just a lot of movies.
It was highly advertised. I mean, Holmes and Watson kind of fits more into like a tentpole movie than like Vice does.
Welcome to Marwen. That could have been a lot better, too.
It should have been a tentpole movie. Just, you know, reviews killed it.
Yeah. And so people kind of get disappointed. And once you get disappointed by a couple of movies, you're like, why am I going to waste my money on these original ideas or something that's different?
You know, people keep saying, okay, I want to address this, because there are lots of people who say, ah, the theaters are dying and da-da-da-da every year. It happens. But it's, again, a record year. At the TV is great. Movies are great. Nobody's suffering here. We're still paying plenty to go to the movies because we like those. So if everybody says, I'm sick of those movies, well, you pay for them. I don't know what to tell you, because they're still making the money.
This year, I think, is a little different, too, because you have things like MoviePass, which kind of died, well, last year. And then you had...
It killed itself. It committed suicide.
And then you had A-List. And so those sorts of... I know there's like Cine something or whatever that has a program, too.
Cinemia or...
Cinemax. Yeah.
No, you're thinking of your own house.
Cinnabon. Something like that.
Cinnabon. That's a good one.
They have all these programs where people can spend a lesser amount, and they can see a bunch of movies.
Imagine if you pay $20 and you get a Cinnabon every day.
I would pay for that.
Yeah, I would be so fat.
Every day.
Every day.
I would.
That's your breakfast.
We'd all be dead, but it'd be delicious.
Yeah, it would be a tasty death.
You guys ready to get into the TV categories? I mean,
no,
we're kind of
let's not.
About movies and TV. Okay.
Yes, I love TV.
Let's wrap it up then. Just call it a day. Hope you guys had a good show. Enjoy the theme song. Here, we'll play it again. Lead you out. All right. So the first category is the biggest television news story. And the finalists we chose, this is the biggest story in TV from this past year. Netflix canning Disney IP to create more content, you know, like Iron Fist and Daredevil. Oh, people were stunned. Number two, Brooklyn Nine-Nine getting saved by NBC after Fox canceled it. I bet I know who picked that one. And ABC cancels Roseanne after her ill-advised tweet, or really, really bad choice of tweet.
Did they really cancel it when they kept everybody else for a TV show?
They canceled Roseanne, literally. Literally, they canceled Roseanne herself.
They didn't cancel the show. They just canceled her.
Yeah.
She gone is what I'm saying. All right. So what were your picks before we give the winner?
Well, all of these are pretty good ones, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine, for me, obviously I'm the one who picked that. It was a it was a huge story because, you know, Aaron and I have had this discussion about how many viewers there are. And yes, Brooklyn Nine-Nine does not have huge regular viewership on television, but I think their streaming has gotten more viewers.
It has hardly any viewers.
It has plenty.
It has Andy Samberg, you, and five other people.
But for a show
that you guys have a hell of an internet following.
But to Aaron's point, to Dude's point, he's been talking about how it doesn't have enough of a following. And to have a show that gets picked up by another network after it doesn't have as substantial of a following, kind of like the Timeless situation, there's a lot of potential for the show to grow. And I know that once a show has lost their, I mean, they didn't really want to be on Fox anymore anyway. NBC is where they originally wanted to be because that's where Parks and Rec was too. And so getting migrated over to that, I think there's going to be a lot of rejuvenation in the creators and the actors and everything. But just seeing that show get revitalized was really exciting and unexpected.
I can't pick anything but the Roseanne situation. Or scenario. Cray, cray. Yeah, because, I mean, a woman got fired from her own she created it. It was based on her own life, and she got removed. And I granted, she did choose to remove herself. Nobody really says that, but she did. She didn't have to step down. She could have just stayed there. But she made a really nasty tweet, got removed. I mean, it's just a complete culture thing. I mean, that illustrated exactly to me what 2018 was, which was the sensitivity that we have, political correctness, taking to a new level, which is I'm not defending what she said in any way, shape, or form, but this and the James Gunn situation illustrated that you have to be cautious of everything you do and say because you will lose everything you worked for if you simply say the wrong thing, which, you know, Mandy, you didn't, but John and I grew up in a culture where you just said stuff and, you know, it might come out racist, but it's funny, or it might come out sexist, but it's funny. You know, you don't mean it, but you say things, and now you can't even make cracks of that kind anymore because you'll lose everything you worked for. That's a huge, huge change in our culture. I'm not saying it's good or bad, just a change.
Used to be a time where you can say those things, and it would actually fuel a introspection in other people because they would stop and say, you know, I didn't like that. Let me wonder why. And now we're not even allowed to, or at least the people who we counted on in the past to fuel some sort of introspection, some sort of like stand up philosophy or whatever you want to call it, as it used to be called by Mel Brooks in the day. It's just gone because. Like you're not allowed to do it anymore. You can't fuel that introspection because people are too sensitive.
Well, and I think it's worth noting that those two different. Okay, so you have Roseanne, which happened in 2018, and then you have James Gunn, whose tweets happened years ago, and they were just drummed up. Same with Kevin Hart and him being, you know, stepping down from the Oscars. His stuff was from 8-10 years ago as well. You have these people who are not only being, I don't know, reprimanded for something they're doing in the moment, but now they're being reprimanded for things they've done in the past and maybe have grown from. And that's what's really concerning, is that you can't even grow and become a better person and not be who you used to be. Because if you've done anything negative in the past, it's going to come up and it's going to bite you in the butt, and you're going to lose everything. Roseanne, at least for hers, it was the year that it happened.
So she shouldn't be allowed the chance to change and grow? But because they allegedly have, then I will never agree with that. That is a fair statement. I know some people say that. Well, she didn't know. So she doesn't get the chance to grow and change, but everybody else does because you like them more? I don't think that's
Well, that's not what my point was. My point was just that there's – you have to be concerned not only of what you're doing in the moment, but now you have to be concerned about what you've done in the past.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We all do.
You know, we just watched Basketball for Bad Movie Night, and the reason why
I'm loving to see where this is going.
Yeah, but the whole time I'm watching Basketball for Bad Movie Night, I keep on being reminded that about James Gunn's tweets because, okay, so Basketball was 1998. Then he gets nailed for tweets in 2008. That's a 10-year gap which is in a lot of ways the beginning and end of a generation, where there was a way of speaking and a way of acting back in that kind of generation where it was acceptable to say things or call some, like call a guy little bitch and all these other things. And, but another 10 years later, it becomes, they're making it about something else and making it about him meaning something else when it had nothing to do with any of those things.
I agree, man. I agree. So what was your pick for the biggest news story?
My pick was Netflix getting rid of all the Disney IP. If you think about what they did, is it almost seems like they are cutting off the nose to spite their face, because they have a whole lot of Disney content and people are going to them for that Disney content, but now they're getting rid of it. And you start wondering, why would they do that? They're clearly making some money off of it. But I really like this idea of them developing their own stuff and not being dependent on these bigger studios to help fuel their content. And the content they've been giving us that is their own has been fair to great, I would say. Some of it okay and some of it awesome. And I want to see that continuing growth with that company. And I want them to bring me more stuff that's been just fantastic.
Yeah, I just watched Iron Fist because you finally talked me into it, and that was better. And it ends on a place where I would have really liked to have seen more of that.
Oh my god, I would have loved to. I would have loved that season that they promised us at the end of that whole show to be the season we got. Like,
that would have been pretty cool.
Danny and Ward going on a road show, that'd be great.
I would watch that. Daredevil, I thought ended fine. I don't need any more Daredevil. I thought they ended great.
Yeah. Honestly.
John, you're saying you enjoy that Disney has done their split.
Yeah, I like the idea that Netflix is getting rid of a lot of their Disney content, yes.
Oh, that Netflix is getting rid. I thought you were saying that you enjoyed Disney having their, like, making their own platform.
I'm torn on that because that'll eventually be another service that I'm going to have to give money to. And then when do I get to the point where I'm giving too much money to all these stupid services? So I'm torn on that, but I really like this. I really like Netflix giving us new stuff, giving us different stuff we haven't seen before.
All right. Well, are you ready for what the audience picked? You know what? The winner. Actual winner of biggest television news story. We'll be faster in the other categories, but this one we just want to talk about a little bit. Biggest television news story, ABC canceling Roseanne after the tweet.
That was
as
huge.
It damn well should be.
Oh, boy.
All right. Now, we move to favorite supporting character. The finalists, the three finalists are The Haunting of Hill House, Theo Crane, The Man in the High Castle, Inspector Keto. Did I say that right?
Yep, Keto.
Okay. And Sharp Objects, Amma Creelan. She was a pistol, I like to say. What were you guys' picks?
So my pick was the Inspector Keto from Man in the High Castle. It's in its third or fourth season, but this most recent season was amazing, and he was great because he turned his character into something that for the last few seasons was hard to get behind, hard to understand, to somebody that you actually supported and cared about. So just him being able to make that change in a character just by doing slight things makes him fantastic.
Okay.
So my pick was Amma from Sharp Objects, which is played by Eliza Scarlin.
Why her?
She was really damning and crazy, and her final scenes were pretty scary. She's not the girl that you want to hang around, or you might miss.
She's not the girl you want to hang around. I kind of want to see how she grows up.
What?
She might be fun. Well, I mean,
you're going to go see a dentist.
That's kind of interesting, right? Okay, I'm weird. So my pick was The Haunting of Hill House, Theo Crane, because that show has a lot of characters that don't necessarily stand out. They all complement each other in a way, but she stood out to me. She was just an exception to every rule. Just fun to watch, and I just loved her performance in that. The listeners chose, so the winner is dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, Theo Crane. And I wonder how much of that is based on less people saw Sharp Objects and The Man in the High Castle.
Probably the vast majority of the picks, I would assume, would be from seeing more of them seeing Haunting of Hill House.
That show was just crazy popular. I didn't have any idea it would be that popular, honestly.
Well, Sharp Objects was probably pretty close to being as popular.
True. All right. Now we move on to Biggest Badass. These are the three finalists. Now, how do you say, is it Bosch? I don't watch this show. Is it Bosch?
It's Bosch.
Bosch. Okay, so it's an Osh.
It's Osh.
All right, three finalists are Bosch, Harry Bosch, Killing Eve, Villanelle, and Westworld's Maeve. What do you guys got?
Maeve from Westworld. She's crazy. I seem to be picking the crazy ones. But Tandy, is it Tandy or Thandy?
It's Tandy. I found out the hard way. It's not Thandy. It is Tandy.
Wait, how did you find out the hard way?
Because I do a podcast on Westworld, and I said Thandi Newton for like the first half of the first season and was notified that it's actually Tandy.
Oh, all right.
Via Twitter. A friendly exchange.
See, in my mind, when you said I found out the hard way that it's Tandy, that, like you were at South by Southwest or something, you met her, you're like, hi, Thandy, and she's like, bitch, my name's Tandy.
That's a better story. I'm going to go with that one. Yeah, I like it.
My pick was Hieronymus Bosch, Harry Bosch from the show, played by Titus Welliver. This last season was amazing. He was powerful, strong, and scary, and just a badass. I thought that I wanted to be friends with him just to make sure that he was looking out for my back. So that's why I picked him.
Mine is Maeve from Westworld. There's really no character on television that rivals her in terms of just ass kicker. I just love her performance. Tandy Newton, it's funny because before that show came on, I was never really that impressed with her as an actress. And now I wonder about all the missed opportunities she's had in her career. Because she's way better than the material she's had before. And she takes it to a new level. The winner is dun, 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 Maeve from Westworld.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Wow. Too bad. Sorry. Try again, Villanelle and Bosch.
Villanelle. It's tough. It's a tough call between the two of them.
Moving on. Who was your favorite actor on TV? Our three finalists. Now, remember, we don't do male or female. It's just actor. Amy Adams in Sharp Objects, Kristen Bell in The Good Place, and John Krasinski, who had quite the year this year, as Jack Ryan. It's tough. My pick is Amy Adams, because I think she had the hardest job of any of those three this year. Now, granted, I don't watch The Good Place, so that's probably not fair, but I don't care. She was phenomenal in that. She really covered the gamut of emotions of addiction and troubled childhood and troubled adulthood. And just, it's a whole lot of things that she pulled off in that performance. And I loved it.
For the same reasons, I'm going to have to pick her as well.
I was going to go with a different way, but yeah, I'm going to have to go with Amy Adams as well.
They're all great picks.
Yeah, everybody deserves a hug and everybody deserves a win.
Legitimately, this is probably one of the hardest categories for me because I think they're all incredible on their shows.
I mean, I've seen episodes of The Good Place and I couldn't put her in the same category.
You have to let it progress because there's so much more that happens. You've only seen did you finish season one?
Jokes and drama. To me, I know comedy's harder and all that jive, but Amy Adams just makes me feel, and I don't think the other ones made me feel in anything they've done.
You didn't get far enough in the show.
Oh, that's what people love to tell you when they want you to go back and suffer.
It's not suffering.
I think it is. I'm good.
There's legitimate story.
I'm in a good place. I'm in a great place. I'm not watching that show. I'm good.
Can we fork and move on now?
All right. So the next category is what show deserves to be the next must-see show going forward? In terms of, it had a season or it's a new show, but you think this should be the show where people are like, it's Game of Thrones. You're sitting down every week and you cannot miss an episode and you have to watch it live. The finalists are A Million Little Things, The Haunting of Hill House, and Jack Ryan. Wait, did I say who won the last one? I don't think I did. Oh, my God.
No, you didn't.
I'm sorry. The winner, it's probably because I'm bitter, was Kristen Bell.
Oh, wow. See, because people actually finish the show, they're caught up. They've seen how much her character has to grow and change, and she has to be so many different things.
I mean, it's Kristen Bell. She can basically put a show out with her farting on a snare drum, and people will probably still vote for that.
Oh, I would totally, yeah.
See, it really, yeah.
But no, there's so much more to it.
I believe you.
I just can't tell you.
I believe you.
Because then I'd spoil it.
But I'm not going to watch it. I don't like sitcoms. I wish people would just understand. I just don't like sitcoms that much.
It's not
like
a normal sitcom.
It's so hard to make me laugh.
It is like a normal sitcom.
It is not.
It's 100% a normal sitcom.
I disagree.
I think everybody on it is great. I don't dislike anything about that show, except I don't want to watch it every week. That's it. Okay, next must-see show, Million Little Things, The Haunting of Hill House, and Jack Ryan. Who you got?
My pick is Jack Ryan. That kind of filled every single like action hole that I needed for TV this year, and I loved it a lot more than I thought I really would, and John Krasinski was amazing, and the whole supporting cast was a lot of fun, so that's why I picked it.
Yeah, that's all good points, and I will concur. Jack Ryan. That's
really?
Jack Ryan.
Seriously?
Hey, I love Million Little Things. I love The Haunting of Hill House. But Jack Ryan fills that 24 need I have. Mm-hmm. I have that need to get some international espionage. I loved the character of Jack Ryan. Just Krasinski really brought the character to life in a way that the other 47 people that have played him have not really done.
Mm-hmm.
I dig that show. And it's also... Man, it's only 8 episodes. I love that. Love that.
That's what it really is.
No, it's the show. I love the 24 vibe. It's 24 with less action.
Yeah,
and I like that.
It is.
Haunting of Hill House, though it could be the next talked about show, it's one of those things where one season and done, and I'm okay with that.
Yep. Yep.
You're going to have to really do some amazing stuff for season 2 for me to be like, okay, I can keep watching for more, because the one season was just that all I needed.
That's fair.
Absolutely.
And Jack Ryan was spectacular. It was definitely one that I binged in seriously like a day. And I was like, okay, I'm done. Where's more? But I went with A Million Little Things.
Mm.
I absolutely love this show. So there's a lot of people compare it to This Is Us. And while I've always liked This Is Us and I did love it, it's kind of fallen off that wagon and it isn't as strong as it used to be. And there's always been some characters where I'm like, you're not really, why are you in this role? I would have felt better if there would have been a different casting. Mm. In A Million Little Things, I don't have that. I love every single person who's playing their roles. I think they do it great. I love the story. There's a couple things that I would have changed, but it still is the show where every single week, even though I don't use cable television, I go to Hulu when it comes up, and every week I watch the new episode, and that's rare.
All good points. You want to know what won?
Go yes. for it.
The winner is The Haunting of Hill House.
No way.
Yep. Audiences told all three of us to go suck it because they said no, The Haunting of Hill House is the shit.
Was it suck it or suck it?
Suck it. No, A Million Things would have won. That's then what I then yeah. would have applied. But The Haunting of Hill House, yeah. People loved it. I mean, that show came out of nowhere and people raved about it.
Yeah, it really hit home.
Next category on television, biggest single moment. This is the biggest single moment in television. One of our finalists, I feel, is kind of a cheat, but whatever. and I wonder who picked that one. John Davenport. Okay, so the three finalists. A Million Little Things, where James Rodet's emotional performance dealing with Maggie on Perspective. Was it that one or was it... Is it the same episode? Because I thought Perspective is the one where he breaks down over...
Perspective is the one.
But isn't it where he's angry about his friend? Is that the one you're talking about? Or
do you want me to tell you what happened? I just don't want to spoil it for people. No.
But okay, dealing with Maggie, though. That's where you're talking.
It's the painting. The painting moment.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that one.
I gotcha. All right. That's a great moment.
Yeah.
Great moment.
He was really powerful.
You're just dancing around the spoilers. I gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. The Haunting of Hill House, Episode 6, Two Storms, the elongated uncut shot, which kind of feels like a whole damn episode, but whatever, John.
How can you not say that wasn't a big moment in television?
I agree with you. I mean, I tried, very long moment. I tried and tried and tried to come up with a good argument, but I'm like, well, it is kind of a really big moment in TV. I mean, you know, okay, fine. And Sharp Objects, the season finale credits reveal. That's like the one you can't really say what it is at all.
Yeah.
But that was cool. That was cool. All right. And the winners are... Oh, I'm sorry. I can't tell you that. First, we got to tell what we picked. So, John, what was your best single moment in TV that lasted 40 to 58 minutes?
Well, I can't imagine which one it is, but I guess the whole episode of The Two Storms.
Oh, Johnny.
What?
Okay. No. That's fine. My best single moment is going to be the Sharp Objects credits reveal, because I thought the show was over. I thought it was done and I had already gotten ready to move on. And then they start throwing some stuff in the end and I'm like, wait, what? And that was just great. Loved it.
That was some serious sound effects.
You're welcome.
He was doing the Muppet aliens that like that are just like socks with like curly things on their head.
We don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We're going to nod so we can move on.
I'm going to pick the same thing that Aaron did because it was seriously mind-blowing. I did not expect that. I did not anticipate there being more, and I certainly did not... I could not have guessed that that was how it was going to finally wrap up and end at all.
And the winner is The Haunting of Hill House, Two Storms, by 50% of the vote.
Wow.
50% of the vote. Yeah. So I guess people like that, John. It's a big moment.
It's a big episode.
it's like the Titanic of moments.
All right. Two more in TV. The show you gave up on. Our three final. These are shows that you finally gave up on in 2018, last year. The finalists are Grey's Anatomy, Walking Dead, and Westworld. Wow, I'm kind of shocked Westworld's on there. It's only like season two. It's just sad. All right, so my pick is Walking Dead. For how long has the show been on? 9 years? 9 years, right? I haven't missed a live episode. Unless I couldn't, you know, I couldn't avoid it because I work or I was traveling or something. But I specifically made sure on Sunday nights I was home in time to watch Walking Dead. Don't care about Fear the Walking Dead. Don't care about any of that. Walking Dead has just been a mainstay at my house. Even when the show was struggling, it was a mainstay. This year, I stopped caring. Rick Grimes left the show. I'm sorry if you didn't know, but everybody else in the world tried to spoil that for you. He left, and I didn't. After that episode, I did not even care if I watched it again. I just did not care.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Was his final episode like incredible?
No.
It was underwhelming.
I really felt, and it's kind of a cheat because you find out, I'm not going to say what happens to him, but you do find out that he's going to do 3 spinoff movies.
Oh, that's right.
So it's kind of a, I mean, I didn't think they were going to go a certain way anyway, but it was still kind of like, it was kind of a cop out. Mm. But whatever. I mean, I like Rick Grimes, so I like the character.
Wow.
They've killed off so many people in the show. It's just not as good anymore. It's just not. Carol's still there. I love Carol, even though they gave her Jamie Lee Curtis hair. But outside of that, yeah.
Wait, which hair? The wig from the most recent Halloween movie?
Yes. Yeah, same wig. I'm convinced it's the same wig.
Jamie Lee Curtis borrowed it from Carol.
No, they like bestowed it upon her. I'm like, here, Carol, take mine. If you're going to survive in hell, take my wig. John, what show did you finally give up on?
Believe it or not, it was Westworld. I tried watching the first 2 episodes of it, and I just I don't know what happened. I just lost my give a damn for those characters and what was going on. It was still a pretty show, but my give a damn just would not engage.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I almost gave up on it on season 1, if that makes you feel better. Took me like 5 episodes to get invested.
Season 1, I was sold from the first episode. I don't know what happened between season 1 and the first couple episodes of season 2. I just don't know. I can't.
I can tell you are not alone in that because of the other podcasts I do. There's a lot of fans that said bye-bye. Aww. To that show.
That's crazy.
It really came around in the end, but I understood why. Oh, yeah. John's frustrated and other people are frustrated. I totally get it.
Yeah, I do as well. But my pick was Grey's Anatomy, and it's very sad. It's been like 14 years we've been in this relationship, and...
You finally gave up on it?
I haven't watched a new episode in like probably 2 months or something. Like I have no idea what's going on. I don't even remember the last thing I saw.
Does that hurt going 14 years on a show and then finally just quitting? I mean, you got a divorce.
Yes and
basically.
No, because this last season it was starting to be like I would watch an episode and then I would kind of, all right, well, in a few weeks I'll try to catch up on it in between my other shows. And I just started getting invested in all of these other TV shows. I was even watching Manifest more often than I was watching Grey's Anatomy.
Why?
Well, what? I mean, it's all right. I kind of want to know what's going to happen.
Well, that makes one of us.
Yeah, there's mini stories in every episode, and so I kind of like to see those.
I've tried to watch it, but I'm just lost.
It's, oh God.
Boom! Oh, I've been waiting for the opportunity all year.
Okay. Oh boy.
I mean, it's only like...
It's like 5 days in a year. But anyway, so I was having a really hard time just getting the motivation to go back. I thought about it the other day. I was sitting there and looking at all of the TV shows on Hulu that I haven't watched like the new episodes for, and it'll tell you watch next episode. So I was trying to find a show that I haven't watched the new episode for, and I didn't have any. I caught up on all of them except Grey's Anatomy. And so I was like, do I want to watch this? Because then I might get invested again. But really where I left off from what I can remember, I don't really need to know more. They're bringing back a character that I don't like at all. So that's going to be, that's kind of a bummer. Mm-hmm. And that was really, I think, just a sad, really poor, lazy writing move because they wanted to continue the story going. It wasn't for a valid reason. And that kind of pissed me off, to be quite honest.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character, are they bringing him back?
I don't think they can bring you back from the dead.
Wasn't he dead when he was on the show?
He was dying, but then he died.
Like the whole time he was on the show, he was a corpse? That's what you thought?
No, so I've been kind of dipping in and out of Supernatural, and they did an episode in Supernatural a couple seasons back where they did a TV episode where they got thrown into a TV universe, and one of the shows they got thrown into in a TV universe was a Grey's Anatomy knockoff, and they were talking about how there's ghosts in Grey's Anatomy, and it's pretty funny.
That's cool.
There actually was ghosts. She was kind of like hallucinating that there.
Oh dear God, really?
Yeah, sort of. It was Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character. She was hallucinating that he was everywhere and they had a relationship and stuff.
Okay, this is just making me
want to
quit
telling
television.
You what character it was, let me tell you what the lazy writing was. They brought back a character who was a love interest to get back with this, you know, this person's prior love interest, and then she's pregnant. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Was it Dr. Sexy?
Not any sexy doctors.
Oh, that's too bad.
That would have been fun if it were.
Hey, I might have came back if Patrick Dempsey came back.
He's dead.
They killed his character?
Like 5 years ago.
Well, I just assumed they left it so he could come back at some point.
No,
man, that's watched him
die in the hospital.
And you don't want some bitch back, man. Yeah. Well, the winner is dun, 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 Walking Dead.
Oh, that doesn't
by
surprise
a
me.
Large margin. Like the other two barely registered in comparison. So Walking Dead had a bad year.
Were there votes for Grazed?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. It's actually tied as 19.6% for both Grey's Anatomy and Westworld, and then the rest was Walking Dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So that's a lot of people that don't like it. Now, we put in like a bunch of nominees for Best TV Show, and we'll tell you what the winner of that is at the very end, the same with movie, at the very end of the show. So you guys, why don't you just quickly tell us what your top five TV shows of the year were?
All right. I'll do mine in order. Number five, Haunting of Hill House.
Can you do it not in order?
I mean,
can you do three and then five and then yes. One and then two? No, just in order.
Five, Haunting of Hill House. Four, Sharp Objects. Three, The Resident. Two, Handmaid's Tale. And number one, A Million Little Things.
Number one?
Yep. Legitimately love that show.
Wow. Okay. My top five, Killing Eve. Surprise, because I didn't even watch it till the end of the year. Sharp Objects. Number four. Number three, Westworld. Yeah, I'm still on board, Johnny. I still think it's a cool-ass
it's
show.
It's high up for you, though.
It's a cool-ass show. Mostly Maeve. It's mostly Maeve. I really didn't awesome. Care about Dolores' character this year. I think she really suffered. Number two, Ozark. Love me some Ozark.
Yeah. So I haven't seen season one, but I saw part of season two. And man, that show is good.
I know. That's why it's number two.
Why don't you try to convince him more?
Yeah. And number one, which is kind of surprising because I haven't seemed like I'm too high on it throughout these awards, but it's just because of other factors. The Haunting of Hill House is my number one show of the year because I don't like horror as a TV show. It rarely ever works for me. And this did. And it worked consistently. There were characters I cared about. I don't need a season two, but I love season one.
Beautiful story.
Mm-hmm. Story about family.
Yeah.
John, what about you? Top five.
Speaking of a story about family, my number five is Voltron, Legendary Defender. Just a fantastic cartoon on Netflix. I think they did an amazing job with it. I wished it would do more, but they actually just ended the show this year. It actually had several moments where like the screen got all wavy and weird and I got misty over some stuff on a cartoon. So that's, I think it deserves to be on this list. Man in the High Castle is number 4. Lost in Space, number 3. Jack Ryan was right where it belongs at number 2. And then Haunting of Hill House for a lot of the reasons why Aaron said. But specifically, just like the show touched me in my heart and my brain and just scared me and made me feel for people in ways that shows don't normally do anymore. So, yeah, number 1.
Wow. Can't wait to see what wins at the end. But you won't know. But I will give everybody a little tantalizer. I'll tell you what tied. There was a 3-way tie for number 2.
Oh, yeah?
Do you want to know that? Or that, will that ruin the surprise?
For no, let's start with that.
Because we had like 20 nominees for TV show. 3-way tie. Million Little Things, Westworld, and The Good Place.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so good.
But yeah. I just want to point out that neither one of those were number 1. Okay, so now we're going to move on to movies. Come back, because at the end of the show, we will tell you what the number 1, the whole TV show of 2018 is. So hold on for that. Now we're going to go to movies, but before we get there, Patreon, we do want to mention, if you like The Hollywood Outsider and you want to support us, all of these things cost money. That song, that cool-ass theme, that cost money. That wasn't free. So if you want to help us out, you can go to patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. That's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. And you can support us. There's different tiers. You can get bonus content. We have a bonus episode every month, as well as Bad Movie Night. That's where we watch a movie that critics or somebody else called really bad, but one of us really loves it. And we talk about that and what we love about it, what we don't like, what does work, what doesn't work, why people hated it, whatever. It's kind of a fun bonus show, secondary show that we do. And it's done exclusively on Patreon. So check that out. Patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Now we move on to movies. Before we get there, was there any new franchises born for you this year? Like you saw something that you need more of stat?
There was a few, but I am eager to see what Venom brings us.
Really?
Yes, I really liked it. Aside from the turd in the wind, which wasn't as distracting as I thought it would be.
I disagree.
I think you were waiting for it, though. You were looking for that moment.
How do you not when it's in the trailer prominently? Rolling down the street like a turd in the wind.
But I hope that they somehow incorporate the storyline with Spider-Man, and I want to see how that all works out.
Like Tom Holland Spider-Man? That would be fun.
That would be fun, yeah.
After the Marvel contract wears out, like the Disney contract wears
out.
Yeah,
I don't know how all of that works out, how it would need to be for that to happen, but I would like to see that happen, but still eager to see more of Venom and see what comes of that potential franchise.
It's probably more likely they'll use the animated Miles Morales.
Oh, I loved that so much.
They can afford that more than they can.
Is that your pick for the best new franchise, the Spider-Verse?
No, actually, my pick for the best new franchise is Aquaman. I can't wait for more Aquaman. High hopes for the movie, and every bit of expectation I had for it was really paid back to me. So I can't wait for more Aquaman.
It's like the number one movie in the DC universe, so you're not alone.
It's true.
Yeah.
You're definitely not alone. Definitely not alone. Mine was Black Panther.
So
Black Panther. Yeah, that was just so fun and crazy, and I like it more than Aquaman. It's just the whole world was just immersive and exciting and visually dazzling. I mean, Aquaman would probably be close, but Black Panther.
Wakanda forever.
Yep. Before we get to the awards for movies, give me one plot. We've got two more little things. Give me one plot point in any movie that you still can't believe someone put on film, John.
I'm really tired of the bad guys hiring the good guys to go do something and then the good guys getting all caught up. Like in Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, when they are thinking they're doing one thing, but really it's another. And I'm really tired of that plot point. It really bores me.
All right.
When you have something that you need to conclude the story and it's right within reach, but you somehow don't reach it. I'm talking to you, Mission Impossible, where you had it right next to your foot and somehow you got distracted, did not pick it up while you were running away, even though it was right next to your foot. And now the story is 2.5 hours long. I'm cool with the story being long and happening, but why was it right next to your foot and you didn't grab it as you were running away?
The MacGuffin thingy?
Is that what it's called?
It doesn't sound like she's cool with it at all.
No, no. It's I mean, hey, to each your own. John, we've already had this discussion. John and I have no problem with that scene whatsoever.
Right.
But
I actually just watched it twice.
I did like the movie. I just think that was so lazy.
Okay. Hey, it's an honest answer. It's your answer. You choose what you want. Mine, and I want to preface this with, I'm cool that they put it in there. I just can't believe they did. There's a point in The Meg where Jason Statham kicks a shark. And
forgot about that.
That makes zero logical sense. It makes, I mean, it's physically impossible. That shark would eat his foot. But I don't care. It was pretty fantastic because he kicks a shark.
I finally just watched that movie over my vacation, and I'm still mad that Ruby Rose was not eaten by that shark.
Me too. Did you see the ugly cry scene where she cries? Oh my God.
You guys are so mean.
Oh my God. I'm still having flashbacks. It's like Nam.
But so I was bad. And I was pissed all the way up until the very last scene of that movie when I realized that they made you think that the shark ate a dog, but not Ruby Rose.
Would you rather they made it seem like they ate her and then she pops up at the end and you're like, oh, ugly crier's back?
No, that would have made me even more. I would have like thrown my TV out the window.
Yeah. I do agree. They should have eaten her because she was not good anyway and she really served no purpose. So
she's just there for the crunch. Physical appeal.
Even that is, I mean, once she started crying, I couldn't look at her the same way after that. I'm sorry. All right, so your best and worst movie theater experience of the year. Both do it your turn. And try to be succinct.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, that was totally at you. But John, your turn.
So my worst experience of that this year was missing the last 10 minutes of Mission Impossible because the theater we were in, which has assigned seating, we got the last 10 minutes, two drunk guys come rolling in and sit down a seat away from my wife and I and just start having a regular conversation about being drunk while the movie is ending. And it was frustrating. It was annoying. And then to make matters worse, as I'm walking out, I go to, the typical post movie release, I guess we can call it, in the men's room. And as I'm in the men's room,
as I'm in the okay, different kind of release than I was expecting. I got you. Okay.
As I was in the men's room, this guy rolls up next to me. He's like, "Hey, man, can I borrow some money?"
What?
And I'm like, "Can I get my junk out of my hand before you start asking me questions like that?"
This is uncomfortable for me.
This is very uncomfortable for everyone listening. Did you give him the money though?
No.
Okay. All right.
Did you continue to pee?
Yes. I don't have a shy bladder.
Oh man, I would recoil. There's there's no way. You can't talk to me and expect me to continue. Nope, that transaction's over.
And so my best experience was going back to my normal, everyday, awesome theater that has the recliners, it has a waiter that brings me everything, and it has awesome food. For the first time in a while, it was like a celebratory, let's finally go back to our normal favorite theater with my wife, and we watched Aquaman, and it was just a good time with a great girl and some great food and my man on the screen.
All right, my worst experience was probably, I'm trying to think what movie it was. I think it was The Hate U Give, and we were watching it, and the guy wasn't, it wasn't because it was a racially charged movie. He was just, apparently he thought the movie was going to be something else and just started yelling at the screen in the middle of the movie.
Oh, no.
And it wasn't like, I mean, it's a racially charged movie, so that's why the only reason I want to say that. That's not what he was doing. It wasn't anything like that. It was just, I'm tired. This kind of nonsense, that's just dumb. And he just starts yelling random stuff. I don't even know what the hell he was talking about. It was nonsense. And he was obviously drunk. So, yeah. But the movie was great. He wasn't. I would just like him ejected from the world if I could. Best would be at South by Southwest last year when I was with Brian Williams. And it's like a whole long story. But short version is we went to the Westworld Experience, which was they built Westworld, the real town, for people to come out and check out. And we stayed there a bit too long. Drank a bit too much. We missed A Quiet Place, which is the first screening of that movie ever. And so we were rushing to get back to see American Animals, and we ended up finding a cat or a horse cart that was actually had the producers of American Animals in the back of it. And they gave us a pass to come to the after party. So we got to watch the movie and then go hang out with the people that made the movie right after. That was
legit.
That was a pretty cool experience. And I'm shocked that I remember it because, as I said, I was at the Westworld experience and we drank a lot. So, but I recall most of it. Movie, not so much. But the experience, I remember all of it.
Wow.
I really couldn't tell you what happens in the movie, though.
I was just going to ask you if it was any good.
I think at one point, Brian nudged me. He's like, dude, you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'll be all right. Let's see you at the after party.
Wow.
I've just got this image in my head of Aaron forgetting that the Westworld experience was an experience and not actual Westworld.
There was a moment where I started getting a little too cowboy. Yep.
Absolutely. Those pictures were cute, though.
Yeah.
Of you guys with your little hats.
Wow. When you say it like that, it really makes me feel manly.
Sorry.
Your little hats. You're so cute.
Well, anyway, so my worst experience was seeing Holmes and Watson on Christmas Day.
Oh, God, yes.
Awful movie. It was so packed. And this is like in one of the biggest theaters, the rooms that they have in the theater. And it was so packed that we had to sit at the bottom. So we're like three rows away from the screen, first of all. And then all I wanted to do was just walk out and walk home. Because it was so bad and so miserable. I didn't even want to eat my popcorn. It was just one of those experiences where it's like, you're bumming out my day. Like, your bad movie is bumming out my whole day.
That's a special kind of bad movie.
Right?
Wait, it's so bad. The movie was so bad, it made you not want to eat popcorn and walk home in the cold.
Yes.
Yeah, it was that bad.
I was just ready for it to end. Yeah, it was awful.
I recommend everybody watch it so you can hate yourself like we did.
I would not bestow that misery on anyone.
You didn't see it, right? So it's like just us that saw it? Just
yeah, it's just the two of you. Because okay. I was going to go see it until I saw what you two were saying. And I'm like, saved again.
Yeah, we took the bullet for you. Don't worry.
Ugh. Still got a hole.
But my favorite experience was taking my nephew to the Dolby experience to see Avengers, even though it wasn't like my favorite movie of the year or anything, just being able to take him, spend a lot of money on concessions. And yeah, sorry about that. but just being able to spend time with him, celebrate his birthday, see him really excited over it because he was able to see all of his favorite characters on screen. And that was, there's nothing that could top that.
That's very sweet. Let's go to the movie awards. Let's dole those out. We do have an award for Best New Franchise to see what the listeners thought was the Best New Franchise. The finalists were Aquaman, Black Panther, and Venom. And the winner was Black Panther.
Yes.
Overwhelmingly.
Really?
Sorry, Momoa. Yep. Now, let's move on to Biggest News Story. The three finalists for Biggest News Story in Movies for 2018 was Disney officially to purchase Fox because there was a big back and forth. Comcast got involved. Well, it became official in 2018. James Gunn fired after his old tweets resurfaced. And MoviePass, and by extension, their feud with AMC. What was your picks for that?
This is easy for me. The whole MoviePass situation, I was so on board with defending them for so long until it started to screw me. But watching them argue with AMC, essentially, after AMC is like, well, let's release our own little program. That whole thing was huge. Just absolutely huge. People who didn't even have MoviePass were now invested in this conversation.
Mm-hmm. My answer is MoviePass as well. That, to me, was like the craziest story. And how they buried their own business model in the span of 1 year.
Yeah.
I just cannot understand anybody that works there. I mean, if you work there, I don't understand you. I mean, what do you do with your life now? I mean, you made decisions that made zero sense at any point. You can see 3.7 movies in the span of 8 days, but only on the full moon and only if you're wearing a yellow shirt with polka dots. I mean, it just became like this crazy thing that made zero sense. So MoviePass is my And I supported them for a long time, too. For years. I had them for years before they dropped down.
We paid high dollar amounts for these.
Yeah. But A-List, AMC's A-List, that's a great program. So solid. I fully endorse that one. Yeah. So far, until they do something crazy like MovieBats, which I don't think they will. John, what's your pick?
My pick was the James Gunn being fired for old tweets. Again, old tweets being called out for things that were said years ago when the world was a different place. Wow.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Huge deal. Well, listeners, the winner is Disney officially purchases Fox.
Whoa.
Yeah. Listeners really cared about that story because now they don't get Daredevil on Netflix anymore.
That's true. The pissed.
No. They officially are going to purchase Fox, so you're going to get all of those properties that they wanted in the Marvel world. They're going to go back to the Marvel X-Men. What else is there? Just everything at Fox that they own is going to go back to Disney. So Marvel can finally do whatever they wanted to do with those characters. All right, next category, best movie line. From Avengers Infinity War, I don't feel so good. I don't want to go. Mr. Stark, please, please, I don't want to go. From Blockers... WWVDD, what would Vin Diesel do? And from Bumblebee, they literally call themselves Decepticons. That doesn't set off any red flags? Those are the three finalists for our best movie lines. What are your picks?
My pick was Bumblebee. Like, there's a bit of a meta conversation about it because, yeah, they call themselves the Decepticons. I've been saying this for years. Like, they literally call themselves the bad guys. And it's how do you buy into that? So, yeah, I love that line.
That is really funny. My line is, please, Mr. Stark, I don't want to go. That's just like, oh, I won't say because there's still like 8 people that haven't seen it. I won't say why that line's so impactful, but it's impactful.
Yep, I'm with you. That one was, it stole my heart.
Tears.
Yep.
Tears.
I definitely cried.
Yeah.
Tears. Well, at least I'm here to laugh.
I still haven't seen that movie yet, so.
And the winner for best movie line, according to listeners, is The Avengers Infinity War. Because it's the right answer.
It is the right answer. I don't disagree. But I haven't seen Bumblebee, so I can't really.
No, it is a great line, though. The Decepticons line is really funny.
I laughed when I saw it.
It's really funny. All right, best specific moment. The finalists are Aquaman, Arthur riding the Kraken, Deadpool 2 when X-Force departs the plane. And sorry, I just giggle saying it because I started thinking about it. A Star is Born when Ellie and Jackson take the stage together. Best specific moment. What are your picks?
I chose From A Star Is Born when Jackson and Ellie take the stage together because I've legitimately gotten chills every time I've seen that scene, seen it in the trailers. It was just very emotional and very powerful.
You know, everything she said is right about the Arthur riding the Kraken.
What is a Kraken? What is that?
It's a big beast that in the movie where he comes out and he's riding it. Yeah. I don't want to say too much because there are a lot of people that haven't seen it. Mine is Deadpool 2. By a mile when he's coming out of that plane because that was what happens when they leave that plane is 100% not what I thought was ever going to happen. So it was just great, great, great.
That Speaking of Deadpool amazing. Real quick,
yeah.
Did anyone see the Once Upon a Deadpool?
3, 2, 1, no.
Oh, okay. Well, I was wondering how it was.
No, did not see it. Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sure it was wonderful, though.
Mm.
Probably not. Okay,
my mother awful. Saw it, and she was like, there's only 2 scenes that are different. I'm so mad. I paid for this.
Wow, is that it?
That's what she said.
Yeah,
she might be exaggerating. I don't know.
That's not cool. The winner is Deadpool 2. X-Force departs the plane. Now, best movie cliche or overused plot device. This is basically where a movie has taking a cliche or a plot device that's been used over and over and over and we're probably sick of it and used it to a great effect. The best effect, I would say, of the year. The finalists are A Quiet Place, making any noise could get you killed. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, where bad guys trick the good guys into working for them. And Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, choreography and singing on cue. What are your picks? Mine is going to be A Quiet Place. That was a concept I heard people raving about. Didn't think would ever work because who wants to watch a movie, a horror movie, with no music really, and you have to be absolutely quiet? Oh, look, if you make a sound, the monsters are going to kill you. This is going to be ridiculous 30 minutes in. I was on pins and needles the entire movie.
I concur. Absolutely.
This is a struggle, but I'm going to go with the Mamma Mia because I normally don't like this kind of stuff. I didn't like the first one, and I've seen this movie so many times now. I love it. I think they did a much better job than they did with the first movie on this one.
All right. And the winner, wow, talk about upset. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
No way.
Bad guys tricked the good guys into working for them. That was the winner. Yep.
Absolutely. Wow.
Who knew? The poll did. That's you. All right. Best physical effect or stunt. Unlike the Oscars, we care about stuntmen and women and what they do. Why the Oscars don't, I don't know, but somebody should goddamn ask them every year until they make a freaking category
for
them.
Oh, you mean like all of us here, this podcast?
Yes, this podcast and numerous thousands, millions of other people. Mm-hmm. Because it's really shameful that you care more about how serious someone acts, but not about the person risking their lives so Tom Cruise's hair doesn't move. So, yeah, the stunts, they matter. Sorry, I got a little coming back down. All right, so the finalists in this category, although I should get... Tom Cruise gets props because he's willing to break an ankle. All right.
Also, why do they let him? Most of the time, you have to be very careful because they don't want their main person
because
to get hurt.
Because if they don't, Xenu is going to come down and zap everybody.
also, in fairness, the way that stunt where he broke his ankle happened, it's like the ankle break is a one in a million shot. There's no way that...
It is.
But even the Halo jumps.
Yeah, I mean, you got to admit,
they let him.
Many of these things he probably shouldn't be doing. Because you know what? We don't know it's you, Tom. When you're jumping from the plane and you have a helmet on, we can't really tell it's you. You can do a close up. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's got to be real, guys. It's got to be real. I'm the extreme.
Sorry, I wonder if it's just movie. Because maybe he has it written into his contract. So like, if you want me to do this movie, I get to do my own stunts. And that's the only way they'll let him do
and
it.
They forget he's a 55-year-old man. I mean,
he also works really damn hard to produce something that people buy into. So he's willing to make the sacrifice for the artwork that he's putting out there. So I'm not going to beat up on him for that. That's what he wants to do and how he wants. He thinks in his mind, he thinks people are going to appreciate it more. I think he's right. And let him keep doing it until he randomly walks and breaks something.
Well, he did.
No, he didn't randomly walk. That was a jump and throw.
Okay. All right. Well, the finalists for best physical effect or stunt are Mission Impossible Fallout, the Halo jump. So I guess it did work. Mission Impossible Fallout, the helicopter chase. And Tomb Raider, the river waterfall scene. Ah, interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. As much as I do appreciate, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but Tom Cruise as a stunt person, because I think he is extremely talented, and however they let him do that stuff, they let him do it, and he gets it done. But I know that he has a lot of practice with that. So I'm going with Tomb Raider, because I know that Alicia Vikander does not do that regularly. And in that scene... She's basically going down this river and it turns into a waterfall. And all of that she was legitimately thrown into. And she was, I mean, like dang near death because of it. And so because she's not had any practice with that and she was just kind of, she trained a little bit and was thrown into water and potentially was going to like, oh, maybe I'll drown. Maybe I won't. I'm going to give it to her because it looked very, she looked solid floating away.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, boy.
John?
I'm going to go with the helicopter chase only because where they put that in the movie, it was like so intense and so powerful and so strong that I really couldn't take it anymore. I was having trouble breathing by this point. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the helicopter chase.
Mine's the Halo jump. It's a Halo. That was the most intense scene on film for me this year. I mean, I was just like my mouth. I caught my breath. I didn't breathe the entire thing. I was just like intense. The whole episode. It's a scene. That whole scene. I just thought it was really, really well done. The winner is Mission Impossible Fallout, the helicopter chase.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. Everybody agreed with, or not everybody, but the majority agreed with John's pick. Go you.
Wow. That doesn't ever happen.
No, it doesn't. Now, best use of CGI. The finalists are Aquaman and Atlantis, Christopher Robin, Winnie the Pooh and Company, Ready Player One, The Oasis. That is the final three. So, what was your pick?
My pick was Ready Player One, The Oasis, because I read that book. I've read that book of Ready Player One so many times, and though they didn't cover a lot of the things that were in the book, how they represented the Oasis on screen was as close as they can get to the book, and I appreciated that. There was nothing else I could ask for that.
Mine's Atlantis in Aquaman. I was astonished with how vividly they brought that world to life. I've always, and I mean always, since I've ever heard of Aquaman, laughed and mocked hysterically at the entire concept of everything Aquaman stands for, especially where he's from. Here, I gave it respect. I'm like, wow, they made that world a place I want to visit. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go that deep anywhere because there's sharks with laser beams in their freaking heads. So, yeah, it was amazing.
Literally, sharks with laser beams.
Exactly.
Well, I went with Christopher Robin, as no surprise to anybody.
That's a great pick. That's a good pick.
They brought the characters to life more than I could have ever anticipated. And I was very wary going into it of how it was going to be with live action. But, I mean, it was really, everything was done really well, and it seemed very realistic.
All right. The winner, Ready Player One, The Oasis. None of these were bad choices, put it that way.
No, definitely not.
All right, best supporting character. We don't do actor or actress. We just do supporting character. The finalists are Avengers Infinity War Thanos, Bumblebee, Agent Burns, that's John Cena's character, and Ant-Man and the Wasp, Lewis. I love Lewis. All right, so who did you pick for this one?
Easy. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Lewis. However you say his name.
Any way he tells a story makes me smile.
I want him to tell the story of my life.
I want him to narrate everything.
Yes.
Forget Morgan Freeman. Bring in Lewis.
So good. Oh, we lost John. Yep. John would be good.
I think he quit. Even I don't think it was that funny, but I'll take it.
Woo-hoo! Well, what happened was is that you said that, and then immediately Morgan Freeman was replaced by Luis in any documentary about animals ever done. And so he's telling the story of these animals, and I'm just digging every second of it in my head.
Like March of the Penguins or whatever. And then there was this penguin back there. Yeah, I could watch that all day, every day.
I can't wait to rewatch that movie now thinking about
I'm going to do that today.
All right, is it my turn?
The winner.
Yeah.
No, I get to pick one too.
Sorry, I forgot.
Jeez, man. It's going to be Thanos because it's a character I didn't like in the previous movies that he'd been in. And then you gave him a whole movie where it's centered around him. And not only did Josh Brolin, I think, give the best performance in the film, I firmly believe that he's starting to win me over to his plan by the end. Like, you know what? I get where he's coming from. All right. I get it. It's wrong. Yeah, bad and everything else. But snap. I kind of get it. Yeah. I liked it. John, what do you got?
Thanos. For the same reason. I by the end of the movie, I was kind of on his side.
He didn't seem like such a bad guy by the end. I'm like, you know what? He's just doing.
Makes sense. You win some, you lose some.
And really, the worst guy in that movie is Star-Lord. Because he screws the world up. Or the universe.
It's all his
fault. He screws
the
universe. Mm-hmm. So the winner is Thanos from Avengers Infinity War. No big surprise. It's one of the biggest movies of the year. Now, best badass. Now, I just want to tell you, kind of surprised. We didn't get a Black Panther. We didn't get an Aquaman. Here were the finalists for our best badass. Dimitri from the first Purge, Robert McCall from The Equalizer 2, and Lara Croft from Tomb Raider. My pick of these was Dimitri from the first Purge. And I know a lot of people haven't seen that movie, but Ian Noel or Yolan Noel. Sorry. I feel bad because I say his name wrong every time I say it. But that actor made that movie completely work. He put in a performance I would put on the Kurt Russell scale. Like, that's how charming and charismatic, awesome he was as a badass. I loved that dude. He was just great in that movie. So he was my pick.
Yeah. Give me a Blade movie with him. He's my pick as well. Mm. He was phenomenal. I didn't expect much from the movie to begin with in general.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it was a good movie, and he was incredible.
My pick was Robert McCall because Denzel Washington kicks some ass as that character. The first movie was great. This movie had 10 times the heart the first movie had. I didn't think it was going to be possible, and I really just want to see more of Robert McCall kicking ass and taking names.
Now, this is actually kind of interesting. The winner won by less than 2 percentage points.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like 45.3% to 43.4%. But the winner was Robert McCall from The Equalizer
2. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who was the second?
Number two was Laura Croft.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Laura Croft. Me.
Who knew? Who knew?
Well, I don't think that movie was really raved about.
No, it wasn't.
So I guess that's why it surprised me.
Sure, it had a following on home video and whatnot.
Yeah.
But she did a great job. She surprised the hell out of me because I really didn't think she could do it. All right. The finalists for favorite actor. This is the favorite actor of the year. Emily Blunt for A Quiet Place, Mary Poppins Returns. John Cena for Blockers and Bumblebee. And Lily James for Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Say this for me, Amanda.
Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
Yeah, good luck with that three times. Those are the finalists. Now, who is your pick for the best actor of the year? Best slash favorite.
My pick for my favorite actor of the year was John Cena. He made two movies that he ran around being one of the best parts of. Like, I couldn't take my eyes off of what he was doing. He's so willing to just throw himself into these roles that shouldn't work, but they do because he's doing it. And I really can't wait to see more of him in the theater.
I really don't have an argument for that because he was really good in those things. I'm going to go with Emily Blunt. No actor from this entire year demonstrated more of a diverse approach to parts than she did. She's the mother who was insanely emotional in A Quiet Place all the way to playing Mary Poppins and making that role her own at the end of the year. To me, I just don't have an argument against her or anyone even close to better than her. She was phenomenal. And if she doesn't get an Oscar nomination for something, I don't even care what it is. It could be just for some interview she did. I don't care. Give her something because that woman impressed the hell out of me this year.
Up until I saw Mary Poppins, not to say that I loved Emily Blunt's performance and she really won me over in A Quiet Place, but I was very Lily James because she makes the role her own. She's very charming. She takes the screen. But Emily Blunt and Mary Poppins, I did not think that I would find her so perfect and eloquent and charismatic and charming that I did when she was in that role. And I seriously argue that I think that she is probably the best Mary Poppins we could have had. And with that, like you said, the diversity with her roles this year, she wins my vote for sure.
Yeah. Well, the winner is Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
By a large margin. Whoosh. She swooped that award. Now, the Coherence Award. Now, this is a little harder to explain because it's kind of named after something you've never heard of, probably. But there was a movie several years back called Coherence that one of our former hosts, Justin McCumber, he had seen and he started raving about it. And he ended up reaching out to the director and had an interview with the director and a lot of other things. This award is named after that because it's one of those movies that nobody heard of. We started talking about it and our listeners started grabbing onto it and really embracing that movie. So this is the award for movie that we saw that we wish people would see. Nobody's talking about it. We hope people find it because it was that good. So the finalists for this year's Coherence Award are Caliber, I Kill Giants, and Mid-90s. What were your picks? Now, and this one I would say, since this award is very specific to a unknown film, just what was your movie and why should people check it out?
My movie was I Kill Giants. It was a movie that I checked out on a whim because I love the artwork that was coming out from it. And once I saw it, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. It was beautiful. It was great. The characters are amazing. The imagery used in it is phenomenal. And then it wraps it all up with this punch to the gut that just really just tears you apart and makes you feel something. And it really is a great story about dealing with loss and love and all these things told through the eyes of a girl who kills giants. And it was just amazing.
All right. Mine is a movie called Caliber, which is, I think that's on Netflix, as well as I Kill Giants is on Netflix too, I think now, right?
I think I Kill Giants is actually on Hulu.
So my pick is Caliber. It's on Netflix now. The reason why I chose that movie in particular is because I didn't know anything. It's one of those random Netflix picks. It's an original, and I'm like, I'll check it out. But it's about two best friends who decide to go on a hunting trip, and something tragic happens. And it's how they decide to deal with it and then how they decide to deal with it later that really captured every fiber of my being in a way. Because there comes a point when a decision has to be made, and it's one of the hardest movie decisions I've seen all of last year, where I actually sit there, I had to go back and forth with what I would do in that situation, and I really had a hard time with the decision. Caliber is a really, it's a really dark movie, but it's about friendship, it's about mistakes, and it's about owning your mistakes. It's just, it's a really interesting and dynamic film.
I remember you talking about that one, and once you started describing it, I was like, dang, I was supposed to watch that movie, and I haven't yet.
You should. Everybody should watch all the three of these movies.
Well, my pick was mid-90s. I caught this one kind of on a whim, but I knew about it and wanted to check it out. And I was very surprised because I didn't expect too much from Jonah Hill being, you know, it's his directorial debut with this film. And it was really something kind of magical, but yet simple. In that it's a coming-of-age tale, and this kid is trying to find his way in life because he can't really find his way at home, and his mom isn't really a good mom, and his brother's kind of a jerk, and he finds this group of skaters and finds his way into this lifestyle, but it starts to take a lot of different turns, and it makes you go back to your own youth. It makes you sit in that situation. It makes you sit back to yourself and say, this is the hard decisions that you had to make that you didn't realize were that hard when they happened. You didn't realize that there's so much impact, long-lasting impact from mm-hmm. these moments when you're a child. And it really started to kind of grapple with me. And I was, I don't know, I was just kind of taken by the way the story unraveled. And I loved the way that it ended. It was a very weird ending. It wasn't what you would normally kind of expect. And I've heard a couple of people say, you know, it was very unusual. But I think they did a really great job with it. And Jonah Hill definitely impressed me with this piece.
And the winner for the Coherence Award, or the one that our listeners think you should check out the most, is I Kill Giants. So there you go, John.
Did John enter like four times?
I think, yeah. He just kept going and going and going and going and going.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how I win things.
It works.
I respect it.
All right. The finalists for worst movie. Oh, God. Worst movie. Holmes and Watson, The Predator, and The Happy Time Murders. What were your picks or pick?
Predator is on there? Mm-hmm. Oh, I actually kind of like that. Normally, I don't like those movies.
Well, it was a bad Predator movie by many people's accounts. Oh, sure. I like the movie too, but I would say it's more jokey than it is Predator.
Yeah, I don't like the Predator movies, so maybe that's why I liked this one. Holmes and Watson was probably one of the worst movies I've seen in the last few years, for sure, and definitely the worst of 2018.
Yeah, I didn't think it was possible to trump Mandy because I hate that movie. But at least I can see why people might like that one. I cannot defend in any way, shape, or form Holmes and Watson. Sorry.
Wow.
So bad. Even if you look at Facebook, there's like a sponsored post of the trailer for Holmes and Watson from the official page, and everyone's comment on there is like, you wasted my money. This is such a bad movie. Don't go see it. Like, I didn't see any positive comments.
I saw one review that said, I would have rather went to my mom's funeral.
Oh my God.
That made me laugh out loud. Or comment, sorry, not review, comment.
Wow.
Yeah. Dark. Oh, dark. That guy has issues.
I almost feel like I should say Holmes and Watson, even though I didn't see it. But seeing how that would be unfair, my pick is The Predator. I had a lot of fun with the movie, but it's not a good movie. It's of the ones that I saw, not that great of a movie.
That's fair, man. That's fair. In fact, I've rewatched it, and even if as I'm watching it, I'm going, I enjoy this, but this is bad.
That's probably fair.
What are you going to do? The winner is, by an astronomical margin, Holmes and Watson.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I almost want John to watch it just so he can understand the pain and misery.
I don't. I like you too much for that, man. Just don't. It's so weird to watch a movie that feels like the jokes were definitely from 3 years ago. I mean, you can tell it was filmed a couple of years ago because the jokes only land if you have, and they don't even land even if you saw it then. But if they were to land, you would have had to have seen them at the time.
The only thing that made that movie worth seeing was one cameo, and it lasted 20 seconds.
Yeah. And I kind of want to just spoil it just so you never have to worry about it. Let's just say it's zany. Let's just say that. We'll go with that. All right. So now we're going to hold off on what the audience picked as the best movie, because that will be the whole movie of the year. But what were your top 10 movies of 2018?
All right. So my top 10 movies of 2018. Up at number 10, we have Cam. Great movie on Netflix. I think people should check out. To All the Boys We Loved Before, or I Loved Before. An amazing movie. Very fun. Also on Netflix. Death of Stalin, which is something that we didn't really talk about in this. I recently checked it out. It came out this year. It's hysterical. It's thought-provoking. It's fun and well done.
I just want to stop you. It came out last year. We're in 2019. The year of last year is over.
You've said this year.
We don't talk about me. We talk about John, all right?
Maybe he means this movie year, this movie awards year.
I know what he meant. I'm just being a
Aaron.
Mess. Yeah.
All right, so moving right along, I have after that Black Panther. Then following Black Panther, I have Ready Player One. Then Avengers Infinity War, The Equalizer 2, Aquaman, my man. Ant-Man and the Wasp, because Ant-Man and the Wasp deserves to be number two for the year. And then my number one movie for that year or whatever year you're listening to this in is I Kill Giants.
Wow.
Whoa.
Best movie of the year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now I for sure have to watch
it. Damn it. I wasn't even going to watch it. No, I'm not going to have to. All right, John. Great list. Good list. Amanda?
That is a good list. I was sitting there when you were reading them off and I was nodding my head like, yep. That's a good one. My number 10 is Crazy Rich Asians. Number 9, A Simple Favor. Number 8, Minding the Gap. Number 7, Fantastic Beasts. Crimes of Grindelwald. Then I have Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Hate U Give, because I thought it was fantastic the way they tackled that topic. Then I have A Quiet Place. I could not have anticipated that being any better than it was. I loved it. It was worth all of the effort seeing it that night. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
That was a lot of fun.
It was fantastic. It deserves being number 3. Seriously, the imagery, all of the artwork, the music, the story, everything was so wonderful. I could watch that movie over and over again.
Hey, John, did you see that one yet?
No, I did not. I did not watch Spider-Verse yet.
You have got to go see that one, man. Yeah, that's a movie you would really, really dig.
Oh, I know. I've been chomping at the bit to go see it. It just hasn't fit in my schedule. I can't wait to see it just because of how beautiful it looks.
It is really fantastic. Number 2 is A Star is Born. Emotional, powerful performances and music. Man, it was so good. Number one.
I just want to watch you back away. Look at you. I don't remember what the hell he said.
I just want to take another look at you.
I don't want to take another look at you.
He worked
like I'm chewing some skull
to lower his voice octave by an entire octave.
I didn't know that.
So he really
I wish I could do that. Effort. I've been trying for years and I still sound like a whiny bitch.
Number one, to no surprise, Christopher Robin.
Number one, huh?
Number one.
Christopher Robin.
Yep.
Got you in the feels.
I cried watching it all over again.
Okay. My top 10. Number 10, Game Night. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I forgot that was in 2018.
Number 9, really A Simple Favor. Yeah, well, it's fun, right? Simple Favor is number 9. A Quiet Place, number 8. Mission Impossible Fallout, number 7. Black Panther, number 6. My top 5. Fun little 80s throwback. Reminded me of early James Cameron. Upgrade. Upgrade is hella fun and made for $8 and just a lot of fun. I just love that movie. Number 4, Deadpool 2, mostly because of the X-Force departing the plane. I haven't laughed that hard in a movie this entire year. I could not stop laughing. That was just like the smartest thing I saw all year. Number 3 is a movie that could qualify for Coherence Award because nobody's heard of it unless you listen to the podcast when I interviewed the director. Thunder Road is a movie I wish more people would go find. It's available on iTunes. I think it's on DVD. It's available, wherever you can stream video. It's about a man who, it starts with a 10-minute just complete breakdown at his mother's funeral. And then it follows a police officer as he struggles to kind of understand his own place in life and also not lose custody of his daughter because it's threatened. And if you watch the trailer, it looks like a straight dramatic film. It is not. It is really funny. And I say this all the time. Jim Cummings in this movie, he's the lead and the director and the writer. He did everything. Reminds me of 80s Tom Hanks throughout the movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is the best compliment I can give to it. It's so dramatic and funny. Thunder Road. Watch it. Number two, The Hate U Give. That is a movie that I hate to use the term important, but it's important. I think it's an important movie. And the way they tell the story really does a fantastic job of touching both sides of the debate. And you really get a sense for how people in that position feel. It's basically about police on black crime. It's just well done. It's not too heavy-handed. It's just the right amount of handed. And it's a beautiful movie. And it just crushes me that more people aren't talking about that because I think it is so well done. It deserves more than it did.
The performances outstanding.
What's her name? Amanda?
Amanda Stenberg?
Yeah, Stenberg. She is just great. I just adore her. She's just great.
She was Rue. Could you believe she was Rue?
No, she's Rue in The Hunger Games. I'm like, that's Rue?
Yeah.
Oh, she grew up. She's a great actress. She really handles that with – oh, and her dad in that movie. It's just powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful. Okay. So that's number two. My number one movie of the year, Avengers Infinity War. Avengers Infinity War. Look, I know Black Panther gets all this Best Picture talk. That's nonsense. This is a movie that took 10 years of buildup to work, and it works 100%. Not only does it work, it gives you literally the most dire ending of the entire year, and it still plays fantastic. I love this movie. There's maybe one small section I think is boring, and that's where Thor's, you know, trying to get his new hammer or whatever. But outside of that, the movie works. It's impeccable. Love that movie.
Wow.
So there you go. Now, we have our listener top fives for TV and film, and then we're going to give you our whole TV show of the year and our whole movie of the year. You guys ready for the listener list?
Ready, Freddy.
Ready.
It enrages him.
John, are you ready? I'm going to ignore her.
I just can't wait for the day she says that and you reach across the table and smack her or something. It's just, it's going to happen.
It is. If I need a smaller table. So I can reach. All right. Top five. This is our listener picks. You know, we put polls in our Facebook group and, you know, all over the place. And also from the votes that were taken for the poll for the categories. Top five. Number five from listeners. Killing Eve. Number four, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Everybody should check that show out. I've heard great things. Number three, The Handmaid's Tale. Number two, The Good Place. Obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about. And number one, The Haunting of Hill House. Now, top five for 2018 for film from listeners. Number five, Aquaman. Wow.
Ooh. That's surprising.
My man.
Awesome.
My man. Number four, Ready Player One. Number three, A Quiet Place. Number two, Deadpool 2. And number one, Avengers Infinity War.
I'm the only person who didn't put Avengers on their top list.
Sure did. Your list is broken. Now we do our whole TV show of the year and our whole movie of the year. This is a culmination of our votes, your votes, everybody's vote. Throw it in a pot and we number everything, we put it up in a little blender and we decide what is the best TV show of the year and what is the best movie of the year. And here are the winners. The whole TV show of the year, The Haunting of Hill House.
Woo-woo. It was great.
Nice.
No big surprise.
Nope.
Whole movie of the year. Oh, it's too bad Amanda's wrong on this one.
It's Avengers.
It's Avengers Infinity War.
I'm not surprised by either of these.
You shouldn't be.
I'm not.
Woo! We're done.
Bye, 2018.
It's already gone.
Well,
I said
yeah,
goodbye like a couple weeks ago.
Still. Bye, movies and TV shows of 2018.
Yeah, it was a good year, too.
It was a great year.
It was all right.
Listen here, mister. Let's bring it up a little bit. Pretend like 2018 was better than it was.
It was great.
Okay. Jesus. We're already in the January and ready for a new year in film and TV. So next week, we will have our annual movie and TV release extravaganza, where we talk about the entertainment we are most excited for in 2019. Should be a lot of fun as we drown out the dullness of January releases, and we'll be back to our regular show the following week after that. So That's pretty exciting.
It is exciting. I can't wait for that
one. I can't wait. Exciting.
That was enthusiasm.
John, you're improving. I like that. You're getting a little jazzy, a little pep in your step. I appreciate it.
I can grow.
Yeah, you can. I don't know if you will. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. This was our Hoe Awards. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you like the new theme song. Anything you guys want to say as we head out the gate?
We'll see you next week. Well, we'll talk to you. You'll hear us next week.
Yeah, Amanda just said everything, house. So I don't have any.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. All right.
I've ruined everything.
Remember, you can subscribe on whatever podcast app you use. You can also find us at thehollywoodoutsider.com and a whole bunch of other stuff. Remember, the next time you head to a theater in 2019, buy popcorn.
And give us a review on iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Please, it'll take you 5 minutes.
And thank you with a cherry on top.
Aaron's sending out money for anyone who reviews us on iTunes.
Officially, he's closing the iTunes reviews.
And that's a good time to end this. Bye, everybody. 40 to my end.
All right, I'm recording on my end now too.
There we go. Now we have it recorded. Are you just gonna gargle shit throughout
this
the entire?
Is like Justin and Chips, but Johnny oh, and
don't
Sips.
Bring up the chips.
I made a rhyme though.
She's so proud of herself.
Everybody read their little producer notes. I've got mine. I know that. What are your challenge words, Amanda?
I think and situation.
Hey,
I looked at the synonyms for situation. So I can say scenario, state, circumstances.
Circumcision.
Not circumcision.
Yes, I like that. Circumcision for situation. That would make me laugh.
So the kid from the Bandersnatch had to quit Twitter this weekend.
So yeah. Sad.
Will Poulter. Yeah.
Poor I Will. Like him.
You know who's supposed to be Pennywise?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He's really good in Shameless.
He's really pouty. He would have been pouty wise. He's got pouty lips.
Mean.
No?
No. No.
Well, maybe he'll leave the internet now. I don't know. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. 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 Amanda, had you ever seen basketball before?
Yes.
So that you've seen before, but not like Dirty Harry, The Godfather, Citizen Kane?
I've seen one Godfather and I've seen Citizen Kane like 3 times.
You know, Voodoo was giving Wild Wild West rentals away for free.
Ooh, I should get it.
Yeah, that's great and all, but I'm like, that's the movie you chose to entice people.
I'm in.
Well, I mean, Voodoo is owned by Walmart, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it probably is. Walmart owns everything else, right? I mean, they own China, or at least the children in China.
They own the children in China. That's for sure.
Well, they do. I mean, that's how we get our medicine.
None of that.
All right. So do you remember?
The 5th of November.
Do you remember how this works? Oh. John, we're just going to pretend that one didn't even happen.
This is how it normally works. You start saying something. Amanda tries to make a joke of it. And then you just shake your head at her all the time.
And yeah. I laugh at my own jokes.
I start doing the character from basketball, the other billionaire who's trying to ruin everything. And just start going,
I got all the chrome off his bumper.
You want me to start working on the other one?